We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. You know, there's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. You know, special teams, all the new roles, whatever. You know, we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen, and there's no reason to duck. You know, attack it, you know, head first, and go get it.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Caleb Williams, and he is not ducking anything. He is there to take it all on.
The T-shirt is ready. There's no reason to duck on the front. I'm here on the back.
Have they made a T-shirt yet? Have we contacted?
I don't know. We should.
We asked.
They should do that.
Makes
a lot of sense, and it's going to be something worth remembering. That's the way he's going to approach this. I don't think he's going to be a rookie quarterback phased by much. He's used to the spotlight. It's been clear over the weekend since he got drafted, really, that the stage is not too big for him. I don't think the moment will be either. It'll be important off the field because of what the Chicago market brings, but also on the field because you don't sense that he's going to wither when you need him to stand tall. And I think that's big when you have a quarterback and we're talking about intangibles. You know he can throw the ball. You figure he can do all those things. The intangibles have been the hardest thing, as hard as anything to figure out.
312-644-6767. Let's try Barry. Barry's on the road. Hey, Barry.
Hey, good morning. Two of my favorite gentlemen. I want to go back to a two-part question. Go back to the pick six. David, you said they're going to ease him into it, although they put all these wonderful weapons, which I give a 9 because I don't believe in 10 as far as Brian Poe's draft. Mully said they're going to be throwing the ball all over the field. The average score last year in the NFL was 24.8. Do you know the Chiefs only scored 21 points average? Yeah. So my point is, the common denominator is defense. If you go back to the Patriot days, the kicker, Vinatieri, won 3 Super Bowls for them, okay? Go back to when they beat Atlanta, they came from behind. Atlanta couldn't hold nobody, okay? My point is, we can throw the ball all over the yard. We've seen that in past Super Bowls. And the Bears' problem last year, they couldn't hold nobody. I give them a 7. I would give him a 6 last year, but a 7 this year because you only got one player, Byard, on the back end. Okay? You didn't get nothing on the edge. That guy's developmental. So if you can't hold nobody still this year, I don't care if you put up 30.
Yeah, I would.
Fair enough, Barry. Thanks for the phone call.
But I would disagree with that. I think that the point we were making, just from a offensive coordinator standpoint, they're going to throw the ball. We talked about their identity. They're probably going to throw the ball more than they run the ball for the first time in a long time. And that's because they're set up to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we think about Caleb Williams and his particular skill set, as we were in here on Saturday, I expressed to you my hope that they would sort of ease him into this and that they would – even if they're using the ball, throwing the ball to control the clock, they would be more concerned with marching down the field as opposed to going for big plays or trying to get off schedule. I want to see an offense on schedule marching down the field and then taking their shots when they're there.
Well, I think that's what we agree is the intelligent way to approach this.
Yes.
You're still, and I think the point of the question and the conversation to me is that this still is a defensive-oriented football team because the defense is more proven than the offense. Now, we can talk about the difference in ceilings if you like, because I think that would be a conversation, too, worth debating. Whether or not the offense has a higher ceiling, it doesn't really matter right now. You are a defense-first football team because you have a proven commodity on that side of the ball. The way I explained it on Saturday is the way I believe it today. The Bears would be wise to approach it as if they're going to, this season, win with Caleb Williams until they're at the point where they win because of him. They're going to get to that point. That's why they drafted him first overall. That's what all the hype is about. He's a win because of guy. But until you get to that point, you don't have to rush it because that's how you ruin it. You win with him, and you surround him with the weapons that they have. You lean on your defense, and you play it relatively safe until you give him the total autonomy to take over and to do with his skill set what he can do, but you don't need to be in such a hurry.
Yeah, you know, we talked about just the general difference starting a rookie versus an experienced player, and that's it's different all the way around. It's just it's a different animal, and I told a story about talking to Bill Walsh when the Bears were going to start. They were forced to start Kyle Orton and a fourth-round draft pick because of injury. And I talked to Bill Walsh about what it's like to start a rookie quarterback. And he said that the thing that you don't understand, and this is, I think, an excellent point, is that a guy can take the playbook, he can read it, he can understand it, and then 4 games later, he's not as aware of something he ran earlier in the season as he would be right now. So in other words, there is a constant reteaching of what you've taught. It's not like, you know, we always talk about, you know, learning an offense is like learning a language, and you're stacking up all of these words and all of this information, and then you eventually can speak it. When you're talking about rookies in their first year in the league, the difference is that phrases or different understanding of things has to be taught over and over again. You don't just learn it like a language. You don't just start at scratch. And it's a subtle idea, but that's what your first year in the league is all about. It's about getting building blocks and then moving forward. It takes a couple years to figure this stuff out.
It typically does. I mean, you want it to be second nature.
Right.
You can.
How many picks did Peyton Manning throw?
Yeah, he set a record, I think, for rookie quarterbacks and interceptions. But I think you also have the example more recently of C.J. Stroud adapting quickly. And there's that opportunity here. But I think when you look at what the Texans did, I don't think they got too complicated. And they let things kind of happen and use his ability to create good opportunities for success. And he took advantage of those. And then you build confidence and you do that again. And so by the end of the season, C.J. Stroud looked like a pretty polished, finished product. It's not hard to envision Caleb Williams taking a similar path. So maybe early on there might be shaky moments. He's going to have bad games. He's going to throw bad interceptions. But by the end of the year, you're going to probably realize exactly what you have. And the Bears are probably will benefit initially, immediately from that by becoming a team in playoff contention. That's the idea.
And this team is a lot farther along than whatever team, like when you talk about quarterbacks coming in, be it Peyton Manning, be it Troy Aikman, you know, guys that came in and had to lose to then win. I think the Bears are set up. You heard him describe their top five defense, you know, and it's a good defense. Are there holes in the defense? I don't think as many as you're kind of letting on with your call, you know. I get it. You could use another pass rusher, but it's not like you're bereft of anyone on the other side. And presumably, you know, Jervon Dexter is going to take a step forward. Zach Pickens is going to be a better player. than he was as a rookie. Well, you're counting on picks that you've made getting better. The back end should get better.
That's player development.
That's what it is.
It's player development. And the reason you weren't as aggressive in approaching your defensive depth chart the way you were your offensive depth chart is because you didn't have to be. You shouldn't have been. You have players that are ascending, players who had good seasons last year that ready to, you know, do that again, and you just had fewer holes to fill. So I don't have a problem with their defense. I think it's going to be very, very good and carry this team.
Yeah, and their offense is going to be pretty good.
It'll be improved.
Let's try Shane. He's in Mount Prospect. Hey, Shane.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got a two-parter kind of. In terms of contract extensions for the NFL, when do those negotiations happen? Like during the season or in the summer? And then, like, Tevin Jenkins and other – like, would you give Tevin Jenkins a contract extension? Thanks, guys.
Contract extensions are always ongoing. I'm talking negotiations. There's never really one time of the year where you say, okay, it's reserved for that. They're always potentially going to happen, or they could happen. You see it often at the end of a season when teams want to, you know, lock up a guy long term. You see it often like before the beginning of the calendar year, NFL calendar year.
Right. Before you get to camp, once you get to camp, guys – don't want to talk about it, whatever.
Most guys don't.
Yeah. You want to – as far as Tevin Jenkins is concerned, I think you've got to see what he is. I still don't know what Tevin Jenkins is. I think he had – there are times when he's played very well, and there are times when he's been unavailable. So you would like to get a season under his belt, and you still worry about, you know, long-term injury issues with his back.
Well, I know what he is. He's a very good – offensive lineman when he's in the lineup, but what he also is unreliable because of his health situation. And
exactly.
Players who are unreliable typically don't sign contract extensions even if they're entering the final year of their deal. You can't trust that he's going to stay healthy for 15 games. And if you're going to sign him to a contract extension long term, don't you want to be more confident and comfortable with that?
Yeah, I don't know that I am with that.
I wouldn't probably do that until I don't know.
I like him a lot.
I do too.
And I hope he plays well, but he's got to be there, and he's missed a lot of time.
And you just protected yourself against that possibility. One of the reasons that Amagaji was drafted in the third round from Yale is because, yes, he could challenge Braxton Jones perhaps at left tackle. I don't think it's going to happen immediately. But he also supplies you some quality depth at left guard if Tevin Jenkins goes out with an injury, you know, prematurely misses part, or, you know, if he's out earlier than you expect.
I'm very curious when you look at what the Bears are kind of lining up and how you approach the team that they have at this point. Okay, so you got obviously both Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins missed time with injury. Mm-hmm. They brought in Ryan Bates, presumably to be the center, but they also signed Coleman Shelton, who was a starting center, to a one-year deal. But he could start, and Bates could move to either side if there's an injury. Is Jatari Carter going to make this roster? They only kept 8 offensive linemen to start last year. And, you know, the third-round pick's going to make it. You also gave a contract to Jake Curran, who is a backup tackle who was in Seattle with your offensive coordinator. Could he be a guy that you keep around? Could he make the roster? What does that say about Larry Borum? I'm just saying there's competition for those back end spots.
Well, there should be, and I think that's the idea of the offseason approach. You know,
yes.
Larry Borum, if I were him, I would be the most concerned.
You would worry Excuse about me. Your future.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that is in the most jeopardy of maybe holding on to a job or keeping it. The competition at the back end of that roster should be as intense as it seems it will be, because that's how you build a championship offense and championship rosters. I think Jenkins and Davis are, unless there's an injury, they're your day one starters.
Mm-hmm.
Your starting center, it seems it would be Ryan Bates, according to Bigsy and other things. I think Shelton probably provides some depth. I don't think
Bates would probably be a guard if one of those guys got hurt, right? I mean, I'm just saying.
You're in that trick bag, too, because that's not a great thing for continuity. And your tackle position, you feel good about Darnell Wright, and Braxton Jones got a message over the weekend, and that's that we're happy with you, but we're not overjoyed with you.
But and it's interesting because you even heard from the general manager who said that he didn't believe that the third round rookie was Kieran Amagaji was going to be challenging for a starting job this year. But you look at the traits and you look at the round he's taken, and you could see it coming. You could see it in another year. So it's interesting. Braxton Jones definitely under pressure. Everybody's under pressure in the NFL.
Yeah, always going to have to win your job each and every season. And Amagaji gives them some protection, and he also is – one of the kind of guys you want in your organization, whether he grew up a Bears fan in Hinsdale or not, he still is somebody who is high character, high ceiling, and very appealing at that spot. So he's going to be there to challenge Braxton Jones and everybody else on that offensive line to kind of the only person who you wouldn't feel like he isn't likely to replace is the right tackle, Darnell Wright. But in a pinch, during an injury, he could probably play that side as well.
Andy's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Andy.
Hey, good morning. First of all, Molly, congratulations on getting your punter. I know you wanted that.
And
it's great. I have to say that this has the potential to not be your father's team or your grandfather's Bears team. With that receiving core, this could be definitely a whole new era. And the expectation of making the playoffs, challenging for it, maybe even winning the division, you know, definitely not out of sight. Perhaps not coincidentally, the last time they won the North was the last time they beat Green Bay in 2018. It was the second to last game of the season. They knocked the Packers out of the playoffs and won the division. And until they can find a way to beat the Packers and obviously the rest of the division, this last year they were 2-4. If you get to 3-3, maybe 4-2, then you're in a position to make the playoffs, possibly even win the division.
Thanks, Andy.
That's a good point.
I think it's a very good point. Torrey Taylor is a very unique draft pick. Fourth round pick on a punter is a reach for some people. I think that it did make you happy, made a lot of people happy, and it should, because it gives the Bears the best player at his position available in the fourth round, and they seize the opportunity.
Best punter he's ever seen.
Best punter he's ever seen.
Come on.
That's hard to get out of your head when that guy's sitting on the board and you have, at that point in time, your only draft pick left, right? That was their last one?
At the time, it was their last pick, and then they moved back in. They gave up a fourth rounder fifth rounder.
So at that point, you thought you were done. And if you're going to do that, you want to go out with a flourish.
I got to tell you, I mean, it was something. We talked about this. I mean, again, when you started talking about how many pieces they had in the draft and how many assets they had given up and whether they had any late round picks, I was saying that, you know, at the end of last year, if you didn't realize that you needed a punter, then you weren't looking at field position, how they played, what their issues were. Trenton Gill, God bless him, had an awful year and was one of the lowest punt totals in the entire league. And now you got a guy that it proves you by about, 8 or 9 yards per punt on average? And Gill was not a guy that was giving you much benefit in your field position. So now you're talking about a guy that can boom a punt that you know, it's not just distance. It's hang time. I mean, there are a thousand different things.
Accuracy counts.
That go accuracy
with
very
punters
important,
as well. Yes.
Especially how you want to set up
strategic
your team, etc. But this guy is an absolute weapon. He's a weapon. He's a secret weapon. And you got a guy that is going to be as good as any punter in the NFL next year. I will predict
Wow.
that.
Wow. Molly out on a limb there.
That's not even out on a limb.
Blimey, that's a big bold prediction.
Think about it. You got the general manager said he's never seen a guy that good.
Did you see the Texans called him the crocodile punter?
The crocodile punter. That's good. Punter down under. I like that too.
All right.
Whatever way you want to call him, Crocodile Dundee. There, I know a guy named Croc because he came from kind of rural Ireland, and when he got here in Chicago, he was kind of, hey, how you doing? I'm from, you know, like he thought everybody was from his hometown. all right, we got a lot going on. We're going to bring in Lance Leopold. He is the Kansas coach. We will talk to him about the Bears' new pass rush specialist, Austin Booker. We'll find out what he thought of Booker as a player, how he deployed him, and why Booker came out. I was a little surprised that he even came out. He could have come back for another year. But we'll talk to Lance Leopold next. It's Mully and Haun.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
The score.
What's up, Bears Nation? Can't wait to come get to work, get to that quarterback. Bears down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yes, indeed. We are delighted to welcome in Lance Leipold, the head football coach of Kansas, and he is the coach of the voice you just heard, the man that the Bears jump back into the draft for, Austin Booker. And, Coach, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. It's great to be with you. I hope you're doing well also.
Oh, we're doing great, and I got to tell you, I mean, this is just a weird one, but my brother and I always go over the draft. We always talk about different players. He had identified Booker as the guy the Bears needed to get out of the draft, and when they jumped back in to get Austin Booker, he was delighted. You know, sometimes you do that goofy stuff among families.
Yep.
I got to tell you, the guy was thrilled. What can you tell us about this player? He is he's a guy that is really exciting because he's a young guy, but he flashes some great skill.
Yeah, absolutely. He's, Austin Booker, first of all, is just scratching the surface of his abilities. Hasn't played a lot. And with that being said, you know, his best football is definitely ahead of him. And, he transferred to us after being at the University of Minnesota. We had taken a transfer defensive end and edge player from Miami of Ohio the year before, Lonnie Phelps. And Lonnie declared early as well and is on the practice squad for the Browns. So we needed some help. And you know, really around this time last year, we really didn't know what we had. He had just completed spring ball. He's kind of a quiet, reserved guy that's was just picking up things, and really he kind of burst on the scene. Probably one of his best games was against University of Illinois on a Friday night on ESPN, and he started to build confidence from there. He's got great length, bends extremely well around the corner, and does some things that you know, he's kind of sneaky on how he does it, and he shows up making plays when you need him. And I think Bears fans are really going to enjoy watching him play.
Coach, it's a pleasure talking with you. You've done a great job at Kansas, as you did at Buffalo. And you look at Austin Booker, 6'4.5", 240, with all kinds of athleticism, all kinds of potential. And you wonder, there was some suggestion that if had he stayed in school, he would have been a first-round type of player next year. Why didn't he stay in school? Today, in the NIL era, you see guys who can make some money by staying in school. What was the biggest reason he came out?
Well, you know, guys, that's right. And we felt that, you know, and as coaches, we're, you know, you're kind of viewed as the opposition in some of that, unfortunately, when you're trying to talk to a young man who's played 13 college games to stick around and polish his game. But, you know, there's the factor of the risk of injury and other things. He felt, you know, he's close enough to his degree and all that he can finish that up. And he made it very clear, but you know, shortly after the regular season, that he was going to pursue this, and we had heard that, and obviously today's student athlete has opportunities to get information faster, hire an agent, get resources, and he had gotten the feeling that you know, it was going to be in his best interest. You know, he got into the Senior Bowl and he showed some flashes, but as we know, on draft day. You know, the last time I saw Book was at our final spring showcase scrimmage that we opened to the public, and he had been hearing, you know, top 2-3 rounds was a good possibility, and unfortunately it didn't work out that way. But good for the Bears fan, you know, organization that they're going to get him. But yeah, we thought he could be that type of guy if he stayed another year. But you know, you can't sit there and look in the rearview mirror much longer.
You know, it's funny just looking at him. You know, the height, the length is there, but I think he showed up at the combine or at the Senior Bowl at 240 pounds. When a guy has that kind of frame, you figure they can put more weight on. What is it, as you mentioned his ability to bend, you mentioned they kept showing this, you know, the Packers drafted Jordan Morgan, the tackle. And they showed him, like, throwing him to the ground at a quarterback's feet. So all the Bear fans are fired up. But what is it? How do you get guys to build? You know, it depends on someone's metabolism, et cetera. How do you get guys to put on weight in the way that they'll need to in the NFL?
Yeah, well, first of all, guys, I'll add this. When I saw him that last time, I could tell a definite difference already from the previous time I saw him in early January or late January. In that time, that upper body was thicker, more developed. So again, when you know, it's changed a lot, especially at this level, with nutrition and education. But you know, it's kind of like your parents. Sometimes you don't always listen to your parents, but you listen to somebody else, you know, and when they get into the training and they get around other people and when they're around grown men each and every day, and they get some, you know, maybe a good mentor in this of really becoming a professional. We talk about it often, you know, eat for performance, not for taste. And all of a sudden that you start changing some things that's prepared for you and doing those things, and you see the benefits. And I sure Austin will be one of those guys.
Talking with Kansas coach Lance Leipold here on the Score, the Mullen Haw Show, about Austin Booker, the Bears' fifth-round draft pick. So, Coach, the Bears run a 4-3. As you know, he's going to have his hand in the dirt, as they say. Is that the best use of his talent? Is he going to be more comfortable in a 4-3 than maybe a 3-4? Because he's got the body type. He could probably do anything that you ask him to do. But what do you think about the fit?
Yeah, I do, guys. I think he's more of a 4-3. He has that part. He, you know, again, he wants to get to the quarterback. We dropped him a few times and things, but we're a four-man front here in base. You know, sometimes the guy's going to stand up in that stance based on on certain formations, but he was a 4-3 guy for us here. It's one of the reasons why he came here. And I think that's his fit. I think the scheme that we run and have been running really since we were at Wisconsin Whitewater is been a defensive end has been our most productive position that translated into NFL opportunities. We had a young man that was with the Bears a few years back. We were not there for Khalil Mack, but I know his brother was on the practice squad. Charles Harris was a guy out of Detroit that played for us at Buffalo, had a cup of coffee there. Malcolm Kuntz was a third round pick, was probably the one I'd compare Austin to a little bit. He played for us at Buffalo. He's getting a good opportunity there with the Raiders. And much like Austin, he was a guy whose best football was ahead of him. And he was a third round pick. I think Austin's a little bit longer, has longer arms, but again, will have that same type of capability. So for them to draft, to go get him, I think they were spot on. One of the scouts for the Bears, John City, played at Buffalo, grew up in the same subdivision I lived in there. And John's done an excellent job for the Bears. I know coming through to any of the programs that we've been a part of. And like he said, when I sent him a text about drafting him, he goes, Coach, we know exactly what we're getting when we get a guy from Kansas. And I think that means a lot for both ends.
Well, you know, it's funny, Coach. David and I are old sports writers, and we spent years covering the Bears, and we both got to know Chris Ballard, who was a scout at the time with the Bears before going to Kansas City, and now obviously he's the general manager at Indy, and his son plays for you, right? He's got a son who's a backup quarterback. His son, Cole, is a backup quarterback at Kansas, and I got to tell you, that speaks volumes that Chris would send his son to you. It speaks volumes about the respect he must have for you as a coach.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that. And, you know, Chris's son, Cole, came to us as a walk-on. He's now on scholarship. He actually he started against our rival K-State, you know, in a big game. He played a lot against Texas Tech as well due to some injuries. And Cole has if you know Chris, you know the competitive nature of Chris. And, you know, Cole has that and a great ability. You know, Chris and I go back over 30 years when I was a graduate assistant at Wisconsin under Barry Alvarez. You know, Chris's career had been cut short and he became a student assistant. And we became friends when he went to Texas A&M Kingsville. I was at Nebraska Omaha. We were D2 guys. And we've always kind of stayed in touch. So we knew the intangibles of recruiting Cole, but also I guess, you know, again, the foundations of what a program is. I think, you know, Chris knew what we're about. And I think, you know, in his time in Kansas City, you know, was, you know, living in Overland Park, he had familiarity with Lawrence. And I think we found a heck of a match on both ends.
And Coach, speaking of connections to the Bears organization, don't you also have a walk-on quarterback who is the son of the Bears' new public relations executive, Ted Cruz?
Yeah, Ted. You know, Ted kind of was one of the first ones to text me that the Bears were going to take Book, and you know, Ted's son TJ is a walk-on quarterback as well. So we've got a lot of connections in our quarterback room, and it's been neat. And so again, another guy with this area, and it, you know, it's nice because when the guys are in it in this profession, you know, they know the hours, they know what can happen behind the scenes, and when they entrust their sons to be part of our program, it means a lot, and hopefully pays off for everyone in our program as well, as we get to learn a lot about the insides as well, about the reality of NFL and what it's going to take to make it.
Coach, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate all that you offered us this morning.
Go Kansas.
All right. Yeah, no problem, guys, and appreciate it. Let's do it again sometime. Rock chalk.
Thanks, Coach.
Rock chalk Jayhawk. That is Lance Leipold.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's done a phenomenal job at Kansas. If you look at the record in the 3 years, they've gotten better every year. They've obviously had a winning season. He was one of the coaches that Washington was looking at.
Well,
you know, Washington gets to a national championship, loses their coach to Alabama.
Kalen DeBoer goes to Alabama.
Yes, and this was one of the guys, he withdrew from that, and shortly thereafter, Kansas gave him a nice bump.
But he fits kind of the similar profile. Coaches who are program builders, like Lance Leipold, get jobs and opportunities. And he talked about Wisconsin Whitewater to Buffalo to Kansas. That's the way you do it, and you earn respect, and you build a program. And who thinks of football when they think of Kansas? Typically not.
Well, you're obviously overshadowed by a program that virtually started college basketball.
No doubt about that, but he's done a nice job carving his niche there and well-respected in the industry, and now he's got a few Bears connections.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's great stuff. All right, Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Honestly, the biggest thing is that last summer, I met Coach Eberflus at a golf club that my dad belongs to, and I introduced myself. He didn't know who I was, obviously, and I told him that one day I'd be sitting in his office, and the next year that they'd be looking at to draft me. So he reminded me of that on the phone today. And, you know, that's the biggest thing is that, you know, this is something that I've been dreaming about for so long. And, you know, something that I wanted to happen and, you know, it happened. I honestly can't even believe it. I don't even know if this is real, if I'm dreaming. So.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Kieran Amagaji. He is the third round selection of the Bears, left tackle out of Yale. And he told that story about being out for a golf outing with his dad, and they run into Flusi, and he goes up and introduces himself, tells him he's going to be in his office. And you know, I got to tell you, that's a great story because he's a local guy made good. And you love that kind of story. He was one of their top 30 visits. He came in and talked to the Bears, and they clearly liked him. He's got tons of great traits. Now, at Yale, you know, you're going against defensive ends. They're probably
it's not the SEC.
6'2", 240. I mean, I'm being honest.
It's not the Big Ten.
Right.
It's okay. He's 6'5", 326. He's a project. He can play left tackle. He might move inside the guard.
Yeah.
But it is a great story, and he's got a high ceiling, as they say. He's got some traits, a lot of likability. He basically, we heard that, promising or vowing that he's going to be on the Bears one day. He also could pass as Karan from Hinsdale because of the way that he'll hang up and listen for his answer.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a little meatball in him.
Yeah,
and that's
I
fun.
Love it. I love it.
The old tweets have surfaced, and here's one of them from 2020.
Awesome.
Rashawn Coward is the worst offensive lineman in the NFL. And then he also said something to the effect of release the entire offensive line. And then when they're playing the Vikings in November 16th, 2020, Kirk Cousins is flexing on us. How can no one cause plays on this team? He sounds like every fan.
Yeah, yeah. And there was one where he had this thing like, why are they causing me so much pain? Which is typical of a Sunday
preaching to the choir.
Exactly.
Do you think he has a legit shot at challenging for a starting role? Even though that's not important this year, do you see him in this open competition? As Ryan Pohl said, it's going to be hard to make this team.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to keep your job. Where does Amagaji?
You're a third round draft pick. You're making this.
How about in the depth chart? Do you think he's going to compete?
Well, that's a good question. Now, he was limited in his senior season because he had a quad injury that required surgery. So apparently he's recovered from that, but that does affect your draft status. Again, you know, there's a guy who looks the part. I was told by someone I talked to that he needs more strength. He needs more playing strength. So he's got work to do. But a lot of the things that he has going for himself, such as his length and his arm length, and a lot, it's you know, one of the NFL, you know, we always hear people compared to one of the comparables is actually Braxton Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So he's along the same lines as Jones, and he was a high school basketball player.
Yeah, he was.
Started out playing basketball. Talked about his light feet, how about being light on his feet. So I think that there's I think that this is more of a project type of player. Now, he's two rounds higher than they did when they drafted Braxton Jones, and he started as a rookie. But of course, that was a different era for the Bears, and they were it was a different team, and they didn't have as much. But
they shouldn't be in that big of a hurry.
Yeah, they don't have to be. They have Let's the luxury. Put it that way.
I think it's a good pick because they don't have to be in a hurry. I think we heard from his high school coach over the weekend talking to Mike Esposito, saying that even as recently as his sophomore year in high school, he wasn't even comfortable getting in a stance.
Right.
So it's almost like he is so raw, he can be developed because he has the traits. You know, he's got the intellect to grasp an offense and do the right thing. I like it because it also potentially lights a fire with Braxton Jones. Not that he necessarily needs that, but it's always good to have to know that there's somebody there if you're not up for the task. And I think the competition is healthy.
Ivy League educated guy that is going to play for the Bears. Who knows? Is he the next Dan Jiggetts? Is he going to be replacing us when his career is over?
He sounded like he could handle it.
Tell him to take his time.
He certainly's got the cynicism down with his tweets or any indication.
Take your time.
Take your time.
No, but I really like that pick, and I think it's a good one, and I like when you are always investing in that offensive line and always trying to get better.
And the Bears have a history, a proud history with Yale and Yale products.
Sure.
From Dick Geron as the coach, Gary Fensick.
Yeah.
And now you have
Michael McCaskey played
there. Michael McCaskey.
He was a backup wide receiver on a team that featured Calvin Hill and Tim Weigel as a blocking back.
Quite a team.
Long time ago.
Quite a team.
All right, we've got Rick Spielman is going to join us next. He does the With the First Pick podcast. He's been breaking down the draft all along. We'll find out what he thinks of how the Bears did, what he thinks about how the division did, and would he ever take himself a punter? Or was that an indulgent? We'll ask that of Rick next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.